When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jazzcast Pros.
Happy people, happy plants. That's a fact. That's a scientific fact. So we have our youth growing our food, happy to do so, learning, getting their hands in the soil, building their immune system. It's just a wraparound wellness. And they are a generation. They are the ones that's going to lead us into the future. And why not give them the tools of what they need to prosper? How about you know exactly where your food come from and you're getting your hands on it and knowing that process? It's just a sense of stability, knowing that if everything fell, you can at least feed yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I see a backyard or front lawn, I see a green space and opportunity to feed ourselves and to at least that. You know, if you don't have that, if you can't feed yourself, I mean, that's the basics. And I think the time is up where we need to educate ourselves and how to do that. I mean, I look at ourselves as seeds. I mean, the seed, it comes compact. It has everything that it needs. You know, it has this little food pack. It has this destination of what it want to become. First, it's a seed, but it depends on the environment that it's in for it to become that apple tree.
It depends
on the environment. So if our environment is not set for us to find our purpose and prosper, we're not going to get the chance to see that harvest, you know? So I feel like my job is to create these platforms, you know, for us to be our best selves.
Thank you for joining Igniting Hope Radio. I am Ebony White, the Community Engagement Manager, in place of Pastor George Nicholas, our CEO here at Buffalo Center for Health Equity. I'm just really excited to be with you all again and share with you some upcoming partners and things that we're doing right here in our very own city of Buffalo. So I actually have the pleasure, if you will, of having our wonderful guest, Mr. Dwight Lowe of Home Beneath Our Feet. He is going to share with us a little bit about himself, and he'll give us so much more about what's happening with his organization. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. And it's a pleasure to be here.
Why won't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I like the garden. I love the garden. That's my happy space. Vegetarian. I'm a vegetarian.
Did y'all hear that? This brother said he's a vegetarian. We're doing this thing out here.
I like to be outside. I like to be in the weather. I like to be in nature.
That's awesome. So, you know, I share it with the listeners that you are the executive director and the founder of Home Beneath Our Feet. What was the inspiration?
The lack of programming, in the inner city. I fell victim to that when I was in the youth. We used to have a program called The Lighthouse, where we used to go after school. We play our basketball and the community come together. That was like our network base in the neighborhood. Now that I know now, it was the lack of funding where it closed down. And then I literally seen the neighborhood change. Neighborhoods change without programming. And That's the main goal is to provide programming for our youth so they can have something to do where they can get educated and help with the academics after school and have fun and enjoy.
That's good. So when you think about the organization that you spoke of, The Lighthouse, mm-hmm. What was so impactful about it for you as a young man growing up here in the city of Buffalo?
Well, I loved basketball. You know, we had the hoops, had access to the basketball hoops during the winter, during school time. And it was open to everyone. It was open to the neighborhood. So we had our elders stopping in and playing basketball with us. We had the youth coming in. It was just so free. But at the same time, downstairs, they helped us out with our homework. If we needed help with our homework, with our grades and things like that, it was just the freedom and having access to a gym, and it was a space where it's almost like grandma house where everyone came there. If you wanted to see your friends after school, or you, I'm gonna meet you at the lighthouse. We're gonna see everybody there. It was a space where it brought everyone together. And I still have that feeling. I still remember it. I could still feel the joy of that after school program. And it wasn't much, but it was just having access, you know, and in a space for us to come together and just play basketball and dodgeball, and very simple. It's just having that access, that accessible place to be.
Right. So I heard you talk about that. It kind of gave you the feeling of that euphoria of being at grandma's house, right? Mm-hmm. So that safety, that maturity of that place. And it just really giving you the opportunity to be free and have a large space to play without worries, right?
Without worries.
So I really want to kind of give kudos to some of your programming that you've already started and been doing for the past 3 years. But what is your priority population?
My priority population is those that's dealing with food insecurity, you know, inner city children. That's my priority, is to, because I'm an inner city child still, you know, it's for them. It's to bring them up, give them that accessibility, you know, give them, teach them how to grow their own food, give them life skills and life lessons through gardening. I basically designed these programs for the things that I was missing as a youth. As I reflect back, I was, you know, we always just say, if I had this, I would be so much better. You know, if I had that, right? Mm-hmm. But we have to become the people that we wish we had. That's where I am with when we come to designing these programs and tailoring them to our youth, to our children, and even creating workshops for the adults, because it's all about bringing everyone together and having that bridge. Did I answer your question? I could keep going.
You did. Okay. But so we often talk about neighborhood disinvestment. Mm-hmm. And so your work around gardens and in the urban setting has been a huge investment to just really teaching our young people and adults. Because honestly, some of the stuff you were teaching, I had no idea about. Right. How many gardens have you really participated in cultivating and creating in our region, and just kind of given the cycle of what you've been able to do?
Seven gardens. I have my hands on seven gardens where rebuilding them, doing some rebuilds on the garden beds, growing the food, you know, getting the word out to the community, like, hey, this is what fresh goods look like, and getting them moving. There's a few gardens that I set up and got going. The community still utilizes them and probably don't even know that I had my hands on them and got them all started,
but it's all good.
It's all about them having access to fresh goods and seeing where the food come from. You know, I like to ask some of my youth, okay, you know, what did you have this morning, or, you know, what did you have for lunch? And then say, do you know where the food come from? You know, and there's always a moment there, like, I don't know, the store. Okay, where did the store get it from? How about you know exactly where your food come from and you're getting your hands on it? And knowing that process, it's just a sense of stability, knowing that if everything fell, you can at least feed yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I see a backyard or front lawn, I see a green space and opportunity to feed ourselves and to at least that. You know, if you don't have that, if you can't feed yourself, I mean, that's the basics. And I think the time is up where we need to educate ourselves and how to do that. So that's the fuel to my fire, as in sustainability amongst the community and taking care of each other.
Right. Being able to feed yourself. Yeah. That's awesome. So I want to kind of share with our listeners, you have a garden over at 1117 Ellicott.
Yes.
Correct? And that is the sensory garden.
Yes.
So You worked with a summer camp of young babies who from start to finish participated in growing fresh fruits and vegetables. Like, so I got the chance to kind of peek at them and see some of their work. And we have some up and coming green thumbs that are ready and know so much about the gardens.
And they're excited about it. So here they come. I truly feel that our community is changing. All I see is I see greatness through these children, looking through the eyes of the children and giving them the tools that they need to take care of themselves. We can't wait for someone to take care of us. We have to take care of ourselves, you know. So when we talk about the sensory garden, so the sensory garden is an all-inclusive wheelchair accessible sensory garden. It was birthed from, unfortunately, May 14th when that, you know, the massacre happened. I sat down and said, okay, what can we do to respond to that space, you know, to that situation where it could be a forever thing, hopefully, you know, where someone, people could come and relax and they can enjoy themselves and why not have some mint leaves and rosemaries or, you know, things like that. But the kids, let's get back to the kids. Sorry, I jump around a lot. This
is
the way my brain works.
It's good, because it's exciting to you. It's exciting.
So our kids is age 7 to 11. Our youth programming where they grew in the back of Health Sciences Charter School. They grew collard greens. They grew tomatoes, green peppers, banana peppers. And across the street, our sensory garden, they growing, mint, lavender, you know, green peppers, banana peppers, cabbage. And with that, through that learning and programming, they learned how to sell their produce. Because we have students as well, like, well, I don't care about growing. You know, I'm like, well, you know, you can make money off this as well. This is a business. You can sell that. You know, this one seed can produce, you know, bushels of food. And then now we have entrepreneurs, you know. So as we speak into our youth, they're gonna reflect who they are and their needs of you know, in their character of who they are and how do we bring everyone in. Because I truly feel like that garden is a centerpiece to bring everyone together, whether that's finances, where you want to grow food to sell, or you like to eat, or you want fresh goods, and you all about nutrition.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. So we had the opportunity, the center, to work with your babies doing some presentations, but it was critical. It was so cool because we purchased from your farmer's market and the children were like really excited, but we were able to take what we purchased that the babies grew that they were responsible for and kind of pivot that and support another organization around literacy that was to support children. So, you know, when we told them where the food came from, they were like, the kids?
Yeah, the kids.
Yes, the kids. Yes. The kids grew this food, these blueberries and, you know, things that you're eating with your parfait. And that was exciting to them. And I'm always excited to really pair and couple a lot of organizations that may not cross paths, but showing how you really are relying on one another. So when we were looking, their goal was, I'm looking for healthy food.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a healthy snack.
And you know, the funny thing with that is that our kiddos is excited. They're happy. They can't wait to grab the water hose and spray the plants in.
Right.
So even our food that we're eating is being grown with positive energy. Our kids is happy. Happy people, happy plants. That's a fact. That's a scientific fact. So we have our youth growing our food, happy to do so, learning, getting their hands in the soil, building their immune system. It's just a wraparound wellness. And they are a generation. They are the ones that's going to lead us into the future. And why not give them the tools of what they need to prosper?
Listen, I was so excited to see them. They knew so much about the bugs.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The bugs in the garden, the things that were safe to be in the garden, what's not safe to be in the garden.
They come out there with their worksheets. So, you know, they
right.
come
so
out
they,
there.
They were expecting. They were inspecting everything.
Right.
In the garden. I was like, listen, that's good. That's good stuff there.
That's a Japanese beetle. We got to get that off ASAP, guys. Let's get it.
Right, right. That's exciting because there's so many other things they could be learning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That are not beneficial to them.
Right.
But your program allows them to explore the world in which they live in.
Yes.
And I remember kind of hearing you talk about eating food that is alive.
Yes. You know, and that's the basis. We want to eat things that's alive to stay alive. We want to eat live food. It's nothing like picking a grape fresh off the vine why those nutrients is pumping. You know, it's still alive once you eat it. You feel the difference. You know, you eat dead food. How do we expect to get something out of it?
No judgment to us. No judgment.
Too. We all trying to make it, but, you know, we still have to find that balance. Eat an apple every once in a while. You know, we got to eat live food to stay alive, to feel better. I have friends that say, we all going to die anyway. You know, so, I mean, why I got to eat like that? And we all going to, I'm like, but don't you want to feel good while you're here? You
right,
know, don't you
right,
want
right.
to have a, you know, a clear mind?
And that's the mentality that we really are in fight with.
Yeah.
We're going to die anyway.
Yeah.
Most of our work, unfortunately, we get to look at data that really states because we live in particular zip codes, we live in a particular area, and we are black and brown.
Yeah.
Our loss of life is 10 to 12 years in our counterparts. But then they don't even look at the quality of our lives,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's critical of trying to change the minds and the mindset.
And it's the food. I mean, and we can, you know, there's so many different ways we can look at that. But food is one of them. It's our center. It's what goes in our stomach. I mean, some food has, you know, chemicals in it that could bring depression on. You know, that can make you feel down because of what you ate. You are
right.
what you eat.
Literally.
So grab some kale, you know, some fresh collard greens. Bring your child to the summer program. If you don't feel like growing, they love to. They'll come but go back home and they know how to put a garden together. We have some parents that be like, you putting me to work now. Now they ready.
Right.
They ready to start their
right.
garden in the backyard.
So they could
I'm
be.
Like,
and, but
hey.
Here's the thing. They could be very well asking for a new video game of some sort.
Right. That's
they could be asking for some of those things that will keep them sedentary, you know, just sitting in the house, but they're asking for something that will contribute to our home, right? To be able to grow a garden.
I didn't think of it that way. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely give you
yeah. Like if there's a choice, you buying some PlayStation stuff or PlayStation store cards.
And think about it though. I mean, like, back in the day, right? But when we was outside having fun, being out there, just being free, just outside was enough. You
right,
know, you have
right.
your imagination and outside, and that was the playground. The people was the value.
It,
you know, that was where the fun was. The video game, now everything is getting, you know, electronically. No, against, you know, we have STEM. We have STEM programming.
It's important.
We definitely have our STEM program where
it's
they,
important.
You know, they build their robots. We even ran workshops where they built cell phones from scratch.
Wow.
Yeah, they built cell phones from scratch. We're talking from soldering the buttons on all the way to programming, coding them, and calling each other.
At what age? So you're 7 to 11-year-olds?
This group was, the oldest was 11 years old to 18.
That's good.
11 to 18. Yeah, built the cell phones from scratch, coded them, and made calls. You know, so I'm not against tech at all. But again, balance is everything. Balance is everything.
For sure. So how could someone, they may not have a child or children, mm-hmm. be a part of Home Beneath Our Feet? How can they volunteer? And what does that look like? Like, what does that orientation look like?
You know,
and what would you be looking for?
As I'm looking to build in these community gardens throughout our districts, because I truly feel that we have to have the access to fresh goods right where we are. You can contact me on our website, homebeneathourfeet.org, and then we will have, you know, volunteer options there as events come up with the community gardens. There's always work to do in a garden. That's what's great about it. I just love the company. So whether it's volunteering, you come, you need to help me out with some, you want to help out with transferring some soil, some beds, you want to help pull some things out, and you're going to learn as we go. And my intention is that when you leave, you can do this on your own. So you're not just volunteering. You're not helping me. You're helping us. We're there to help each other.
That's awesome. So you're like getting them started and get them motivated and inspired to do it on their own.
Yeah.
But with the community gardens, based upon some of them. So the one that we spoke about at 1117, who takes care of that garden?
The neighbors takes care of that. So we have a neighbor who comes, he makes sure the garden is watered. We have another neighbor that come and he cuts the lawn once a week. We have another neighbor that comes and she harvests some of the food and she don't take all of it. I'm getting really specific, but you know, I have the neighbors that's really functioning in this garden. She'll leave it there for those just to pick up some of the food and take it home. And you know, now we're at the point where the sensory garden has evolved itself, which was the plan. Is now we have to put a community board up, so if everyone's not there, they could communicate amongst themselves, like, hey, I left this here. Like, I got a call before and it was like, hey, the shed was open, man. I'm not sure. And I'm like, oh, okay. He's like, no, I closed. I took care of it. But, and these is neighbors.
Right.
You know,
right.
It becomes.
Right. So they feel accountable
for
it.
Right.
It's something that's a sense of pride to them.
Yeah.
And they want to ensure that it stays.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's crucial. That's crucial.
And everything is a learning experience too, as well, where I'm super excited about it because it's just all about seeing how the evolution of us and coming together and sustaining something and what does that takes, right? So the neighbor needed his tree cut. It was growing over on his side of the lawn. So, you know, he cut it down, he put it down, but another neighbor's like, hey, we got to get this tree out of here. And I was like, he said, no, we could cut it ourselves and we could get it. You know, they really want to sustain this garden. It's a beautiful thing. My whole plan is when I put these things down, like we had another community garden, it's the same experience that they take care of themselves, where I would just, you know, what plants do you need? And I'll come and drop them. They already know what to do. They are correlating themselves. So that's just a plan to have something in every district where the community come together. They could have lunch there. They can, you know, have those conversation pieces and eat fresh goods. You feel good. You look good. You know, that's a positive situation.
Yeah, we get good outcomes. We get good outcomes. So I've seen a garden used as a study place too.
Yes.
Like, you know, just seeing folks just drive by and you just see someone just kind of sitting
hanging
with their laptop.
Yeah.
So, you know, that totally debunks the thought about us just being not, if it's not a fixture, we don't know how to respond to the beauty in our community. That totally debunks that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Of us just being like loiterers.
It's a little campus out there. Now.
Right, it is.
You know, they're closing the umbrellas before they leave.
Taking care of it.
They're, you know, I had to put garbage cans. I mean, I didn't think of that. You know, the garbage cans and the recycling bins. A neighbor asked for that. It was like, you know, when I put the stuff, I won't put in my pocket and take it home with me. Because now we put recycling bin out there in the trash can. I was like, okay, all right, how are we going to take, you know, it's a learning experience. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think of everything. You know, I think of what I can. I have a capacity. And then that's when the people come in and they have these ideas. And I'm like, okay, so the neighbor next door is like, okay, when it's time to take out the garbage, don't worry about it. I'll take it. I'll throw it in my can.
That's awesome.
We're growing.
So before we wrap up, we got some final thoughts. What continues to be your daily motivation that you get up in the morning? You're like, yep, I'm going to go play in another garden.
To see change, not change, to see growth. That kid feeling that I had in that lighthouse, feeling free. I want the entire community to feel like that. I don't want everybody to play a big high and go seat or something. The whole neighborhood is out we lose. You know, it's just, I just want it. Yeah, that's
issues,
what fuels
without
me.
Without worry, without stress.
Yes, a stress-free environment where we can really flourish, be ourselves, and find our purpose a lot easier. That what fuels me is to create platforms to where it can bring out the best of everyone. Because what does that look like?
Right. The best of
everyone.
Everyone.
What does that look like?
Really, the fact that the best is in everybody.
Absolutely.
Just being able to cultivate it.
Absolutely. I mean, I look at ourselves as seeds. I mean, the seed, it comes compact. It has everything that it needs. You know, it has this little food pack. It has this destination of what it want to become. First, it's a seed, but it depends on the environment that it's in for it to become that apple tree.
It depends
on the environment. So if our environment is not set for us to find our purpose and prosper, we're not going to get the chance to see that harvest, you know? So I feel like my job is to create these platforms, you know, for us to be our best selves.
For sure. Could you please just share with our listeners how they can get in contact with you? Can you drop all of that right now?
Absolutely. Okay. So you can reach me via email at dlow@hbof.org, Facebook, Home Beneath Our Feet, Instagram is Home Beneath Our Feet, and our website is www.homebeneathourfeet.org.
You heard all of that. You got all of the handles and ways that you can get in contact with Home Beneath Our Feet. Again, as always, it's always a pleasure to be able to bring to you some of our movers and shakers in our very own community. There's so many things happening, and we want to make sure that you know all about it. Thanks for being with us on Igniting Hope. And until next time, be the change that you seek.